This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, you have done it. You have conquered the week. The weekend is here. A three-day weekend, I might add. And life is freaking good. And we have an amazing Ask Dr. Jesse Friday plan for you tonight. Courtesy of, well, you. We're going to talk some Gavin Newsom here. Someone wants to talk about the libs being right about so many wars. Are we going to see another crusade in our lifetime? Internal polling. How does it work? No, that's not about Kamala Harris. Someone's angry about how I treat Chris. Should we label trannies as terrorists? All that food history, so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to begin here. Jesse. How many independents do you think will be won over by Gavin Newsom's high school drama performances as he pretends to be a tough guy and lie about not being a dirty commie? All right. I know we all, because you're a political person and I'm a political person, we get way too ahead of ourselves thinking about coming elections. It's not because you're dumb or I'm dumb. This, elections matter. They're a big deal. It matters for what it means for our country. And anybody who tries to plan ahead or try to map things out thinks about the midterms that are coming up. Thinks about 2028. What's going to happen? Are we going to win? Are we going to lose? What's going to happen? So there are a couple things I try not to do. First, I try to never get too cocky, too confident, and I try to never get too down. No chance. Now, I do not always succeed at that, and I'm sure you don't either. Sometimes I think to myself, man, these dirty Democrats are so stupid and crazy and unpopular. They're never winning again. You know what? We're going to win more seats in the House of Representatives in the midterms, and then in 2028 we're going to win, and then we'll win again in 2032. We're just going to keep winning forever. And of course that could happen. It absolutely could happen. But I'm not convinced of it. And look, on the flip side, you look at maybe some approval numbers, or maybe they do something dumb we don't like. You start to get down and out. Oh my gosh, we're gonna get crucified in the midterms, like the ruling party always does. We're gonna lose a bunch of seats in the midterms. We'll lose the House. They're gonna impeach Donald Trump every other day. Then we're gonna lose in 2032. Gavin Newsom, super talented. It might be J.B. Pritzker. Oh my gosh, the world is coming to an end. I don't necessarily think that's gonna happen either, but I don't know. And there's another thing I do, or at least try to do, that I routinely fail at. Sometimes I succeed, but sometimes, lots of times, I fail at. And that is trying to understand the mind of independent swing voters who vote for Republican one cycle, then Democrat the next, then Republican the next, and they are almost impossible. In fact, I would venture to say they are impossible to understand. And if you want a great example of this, think about this. We'll make it about presidential campaigns. Think about how much money it takes to run for president now. It's $1 to $2 billion for a presidential campaign now. $1 to $2 billion. Where do you spend that money? Obviously, a lot of it's going to go to staff. You're going to need an office here and a chief of staff and consultant. A lot of it's going to go to that, of course. Basic campaign infrastructure stuff. You need MAGA hats and bumper stickers. And that's obviously, yeah. But your aim for that money is not at you or me. I can tell you right now, I hate to give the game away, but I'm not voting for a Democrat in the midterms, and I'm not voting for one in 2028. I'm assuming, unless you're hate listening to me, I'm assuming you're right there with me. Maybe I'll get mad at the Republicans. Maybe I'll sit out a local election or something like that, but I'm not penciling in a name of a Democrat. I already know. And your liberal Aunt Peggy, she knows too. She's sitting at home as we speak, watching The View, petting her cats, snorting Xanax, and she knows exactly who she's not going to vote for in 2028. She knows. I know, you know, everyone knows. It's those flippy floppies in the middle. The people, and maybe you are one of these people, or used to be, because that does happen. You'll be a person who goes whichever way the wind blows for a while, and then eventually you'll be convinced that one side's evil and the other side's good. But these people, I've talked to many of them. I voted for Barack Obama twice, and then I got super mad about that, and so I went and voted for Trump, but I didn't like this or that that Trump did or said, so then I went and voted for Biden, but then I'm mad at him, so now I'm... What? What do you believe in? What drives you to the polls? What are your central issue? The billions of dollars raised in a presidential campaign are aimed always at those people, those votes, because that's what wins elections in critical swing states. Let me give the game away for 2028. California is going to vote blue. They'll vote Democrat. All those electoral college votes are going to go to the Democrat. Let me go ahead and take it one step further. Alabama is going to vote red. They're going to vote Republican. But you know what it is. We've talked about it. It's not just Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan. It's the swing voters in those states. Arizona, there are others. North Carolina. The swing voters in swing states. Billions of dollars for a presidential campaign will be aimed at grabbing not that many people. You're aimed at the person who can be swayed by this issue or this attack or this. Billions of dollars for them. And still, all that research, all those polls, all that money, all those experts, political experts, and there's not anyone on either side who can nail down for you specifically what wins those people over. Nobody can. Gavin Newsom. Me, I despise him. If I had to guess, now this is just a guess, and this is right now, but we're in the year 2025. It's not even September yet. I would guess that his inauthenticity, I don't even know if that's a word, but his lack of authenticity is going to kill him. Trump gets away with things that other people in politics don't get away with and have never gotten away with because it's authentically him. Trump does things and says things, even if you are the most MAGA person in the world, he doesn't say things that make you go, oh gosh, what are you doing? Of course he does. Trump, remember when Trump said he hated McCain and McCain hated him? And remember when Trump said, maybe the worst thing he's ever said, he was captured. I like people who weren't captured. To this day, I've never talked, even people who hate McCain, I've never talked to a Trump fan who loved that. All of them were all, oh, that's not a good thing to say. But you forgave him and let it go because Trump is authentic. Authentic. Gavin Newsom is the opposite of that. Gavin Newsom was essentially created in a political lab to seize power, political power in California. A wealthy billionaire family in California groomed and really created him. He's pretty much a robot. Now, he's actually not a communist, a born and bred communist. He's been programmed to speak like one and govern like one because that's how you seize political power in California. Gavin Newsom has been a political robot for so long that I don't know, to be honest with you, I don't know if Gavin Newsom believes in anything. He's just a robot designed to grab power and then use that power to hand out favors to his friends and smash the enemies of his friends. But lots of time, people can see through that. Sometimes they can't. Will the independents in 2028 reject that? I don't know. I would say, yeah, hopefully, but who knows? All right, let's talk about wars. Someone wants to talk about the libs being right about wars. I want to talk to you about capitalism, the greatness of it. It's not fully understood, even by many people on the right, because it's not necessarily taught all that eloquently in schools. It's understandable. You get a little syllabus, you try to churn and burn through the different economic systems. Would you like to know why free markets work? Why do they work? It doesn't make sense. No one's controlling it. Why do they work? Hillsdale College will teach you. They have a 7-lecture understanding capitalism course. Now, I've read Milton Friedman. I've read a bunch of things about capitalism and free markets. I learned so much, so much. You can do this when you drive. That's when I did it, to be honest with you. I drive and turn these on. Hillsdale has more than 40 online courses for free. Do it this weekend. You got 3 days. Turn it on by the pool. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, fantastic Friday. And as Dr. Jesse Friday, before we go back into the questions, there's so many and it's going to be so much fun. I just have to give you a little personal, a little update on me. I try to always improve myself in various ways. I don't always succeed at that, of course, but always try to get a little better. A little smarter, a little more in shape, a little eat a little better. Lord knows I need help with that. As you know, I'm not a big car mechanic guy. I can change the oil in my car, and I am unbelievably fast at changing a tire, I might point out. And I put in my own windshield washer fluid. What? Don't shake your head, Chris. I have decided, after what happened today, that I'm probably going to begin digging into the mechanic world. Here's what happened. For a couple weeks now, I've had this terrible rattle in my car. When I drive, it's doing the zzz, that thing. It's terrible. Today, lost my temper. Started punching the dashboard. Rattle's gone. Chris? I feel like I maybe have the magic touch. What, Chris? What? It's not because I broke off the part that was rattling, Chris. It's because I have the magic touch. Whatever it is, I can't explain it. These skills are God-given. I don't want to take credit. All glory goes to Jesus. But I'm clearly talented in this area, and I'll be keeping you updated as I travel my mechanical journey from now on. Hey, Jesse, Bronco, this guy says, one glaring flaw in the whatever someone's ideology, the libs / communists have been right about all these wars since 1956. Vietnam, the Middle East, they've all been a crime against every 20-year-old kid we sent over there to die. Even Pat Tillman said so before his own army killed him and covered it up. None of these wars has ever kept America safe, ever. Okay, all right. So I'm not sure if you are a veteran of one of these wars or not. You sound like you probably are. People who drop that kind of level of bitterness about these conflicts are usually ones who have had to participate in them. And as you well know, I have participated in one. I was in the Iraq invasion, you know, when we were digging through those weapons of mass destruction, that kind of thing. I am not going to sit here and justify this war or that war. The military-industrial complex is very real. Also, the change in mindset in America after World War II is very real. People, look, human beings, you will have trauma in your life. That is part of life. There will be sad things, scary things, terrible things that will happen to you, and you are going to feel the effects of that. It'll affect your mind for a while, if not the rest of your life. It will. That's how human beings are. When we go through something terrible, it just affects us. If you've ever been in a terrible car accident, God forbid, or seen one, or please, God forbid, lost someone in one, you have a different view of road safety than someone who hasn't. That's human nature. World War II, which every guy and half the women love, especially once you cross the age of 40, we love it because it was gigantic and horrific and fascinating. And there are demons and angels. There are heroes. And I mean, there's heroes and there's Hitler, right? And it made things so clear in so many ways. Those are the bad guys. Those are the good guys. And it was global and everyone participated. It was just a wild, wild thing. And we all talk about it myself. I talk about it all the time. I do all kinds of history on it when I do history shows. For us, where we sit now in the year 2025, for us, it's almost like a movie, a book, a documentary. Maybe you'll sit and enjoy me talk about it for 2-3 hours over the span of a couple nights. But for the people who lived through it, the globe who lived through it, it was more traumatic than you could possibly imagine. Picture this. And I think about this all the time when you look at things like the Blitz or on places like Dresden, Japan. Anytime there was a civilian population, a city that was bombed, and you look at pictures or video of it, and you see families with wheelbarrows full of rubble looking through the rubble that used to be their city block or their home. Family members dead, trying to, where do you even begin? If you woke up tomorrow morning and your entire city was rubble, bombed, it's still smoking ruins, you've lost who knows how many members of your family, neighbors, you're trying to find them. Your job, well, I mean, that place is rubble too. Where do you start? Where do you go? Maybe try to find a ride or get on a horse and go see a cousin somewhere. Lord willing, their home is there. Where do you even begin? Now, that's one family we just discussed. That's you. That's me. Millions of people, millions of them, lived that existence during World War II. And nations themselves were so shattered by the experience. So they had an international PTSD is how I'll describe it. How do you begin to put the pieces back together? But more importantly, to your question, talking about the wars that came after, you know, Korea and Vietnam and whatnot, more importantly, the world suffering from the traumatic effects of World War II, the world was all, hey, how do we make sure we never have to go through this again? We'll talk about this some more next. Hang on. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Friday. Remember, you can still email us. We are live here on a Friday, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Back to what we were talking about here. Guy emailed in and said all these wars since World War II have been unjust and wrong and a crime against every kid who died. Okay. So we just talked about World War II and how collectively traumatized the world was after World War II. And the world decided this can never happen again. This leads to things like the United Nations and other things like that. Hey, let's all make sure this can never happen again. This can never happen again. This can never happen again. But, you know, I used a car wreck as an example of someone who's been through one and you'd be traumatized by one. What happens? Let's say you've been through a horrible car wreck. And now you're nervous on the road. So you raise a kid. Say it's your daughter. You've been through something terrible, terrible on the road. And so you don't let her drive. You don't even let her get her driver's license. No, not after that wreck I was in. Not after the death I saw. This will never happen again. Not to anyone in my family. How does it go eventually? Eventually, she runs away from home, runs off with the Hell's Angels, and you don't see her again. That happens. Our response to trauma can oftentimes be way more damaging than the same kind of trauma happening. The world deciding that there can never be another Imperial Japan, there can never be another Hitler, there can never be another World War, has done unbelievable amounts of damage around the globe, because conflicts prior to the two world wars, conflicts usually, the vast majority of conflicts would involve a country fighting another country. Eventually, one of them would submit, but submission did not mean I am conquered. It didn't mean I have nothing left. It meant a peace deal of some kind. That's how the vast majority of conflicts have ended. Okay, so you know what? Let's use this as an example because it's a modern example. It's a perfect example, in fact, of what I'm talking about. Russia invades Ukraine. Okay, I don't support it, of course. I generally don't like bullying a large, powerful country pushing around a smaller one. Not a fan. But what would have happened if the West, America, what would have happened if we just said, all right, well, good luck, Ukraine, and let the Ukrainians fight? Let me tell you what would have happened. Russia would have conquered a bunch of territory. Eventually, they would have come to a peace deal when Ukraine said, we submit, with a tiny fraction of the loss of life we've had now. With a tiny fraction of that, Ukraine would have signed a peace deal, giving up things. There's no question that would have had to give up territory, giving up things. But the country of Ukraine would have continued to exist. The people of Ukraine would have been more intact and life would have gone on. But instead, because it can never happen again, Putin is Hitler, just like Hitler. He must be stopped at any cost. Send money, send munitions, send the Marines. 3 years of it now. Now, Ukraine has slaughtered its entire male population. Gone. Gone. They have government agents ripping teenagers off the street to throw them in uniform and send them to the trenches. They have men 50 plus years old with uniforms on, because all the other men are freaking dead. Is that a net good? Well, maybe it's a net good for somebody. Certainly not a net good for anybody who's Ukrainian. What's it like right now if you are a young lady in Ukraine? Maybe you grew up, maybe you wanted to find a husband, marry somebody, start a family. All the men are dead. How many generations are going to be negatively affected because all the young men of Ukraine are dead. But, of course, this was all done in the name of, there can never be another Hitler! And you saw this, look, you mentioned all these other wars. Saw this everywhere. There can never be. We can't allow. We've got to go in. We can't do it. We've got to allow. We can't let North Vietnam just take over everything. We can't let Saddam Hussein do what he's doing. We can't let that. We can't let that. We can't let this. We must step in. And we stepped in a lot. And we died a lot for it. It sucks. I don't have another way to put it. It sucks. I still hold my head high. If you are somebody who participated in these conflicts, you should hold your head high and be freaking proud of yourself. You weren't calling the shots. Not a politician, not a general. You're not powerful enough to adjust the way the world works. But this mindset the world has where everybody has to rally and jump in whenever anyone is being invaded is actually quite terrible. Strong countries invade smaller countries. They always have. They always will. It doesn't turn into a world war most of the time. Most of the time, it's a little loss here, little loss there. Sue for peace. Everybody moves on to live and fight another day. I do not think it's a net positive. Hey, Jesse, during the last election, we heard a lot about internal polling. How does this work and how does it differ from regular polling? Thanks for the great show, the history lessons, and the lucid explanations. You can use that word lucid. I looked it up to make sure it was used correctly. Okay, internal polling versus external polling. Okay, so let's talk about this because polling is one of those things where we will use all-encompassing statements, especially when faced with a poll where we don't like the results, right? So here's a common phrase on the right, a very, very, very common phrase. Whenever we find out that we are unpopular on maybe in a particular race or on a particular issue, or maybe it's Donald Trump is not popular, here's what we automatically say. All polls lie. All these polls are liars. They're lying. Well, no, that's not always true. It is sometimes true. It's not always true. There are many, 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 many different polling companies out there. Companies where that's what they do. And there are super big ones and super small ones. There are super reliable ones, super unreliable ones. Polling itself, especially this day and age, is very, very, very unreliable because people don't have landlines as often anymore. In fact, they're quite rare. So now you've got to call people on their cell phone. They're blocking your number. People on the right are less inclined to answer questions on the phone. Communists love to answer these questions. People on the right generally do not. We shun them, myself included. The second I hear that we're doing a survey, click, and number blocked. I do the same thing you do. That's how we handle these things. So polling itself, very difficult, very, very complicated. Polling companies, there are legions of them, large, small, good ones, bad ones. So let's talk about external polling versus internal polling and how it works. And we'll get a little nerdy on this one, and then we'll move on and get back to other things. Before we do that, let me talk about the pain that holds your life back. Isn't it just the worst when you drop something? See, you don't realize this when you don't have back pain. You drop something, you bend over, but you pick it up. Someone who has back pain, they drop something, you look down and you think, crap, this is going to hurt. That physical pain that makes your life worse is not something you have to live with. You don't have to accept this idea that it's just normal now. Well, that's my life now. No, not yet. Try Relief Factor first. Before you accept that pain, try Relief Factor first. It's 100% drug-free. It is a supplement that will build in your body. The longer you take it, the better it works.
They know it works. They sell 3 weeks of it for $19.95. Order 3 weeks of it. If you don't feel better in 3 weeks, don't ever order any more. ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. We'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Remember, you can download any part of the show you happen to miss. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. We're talking about polling. How does it work? Internal polling versus external polling. And all right, so I already went over there are big polling companies, small polling companies. There are reliable ones and not reliable ones. Now, I'm going to talk to you about crosstabs. I swear I'm not going to bore you to death. Just stay with me. Just take a minute. To gauge the accuracy of a poll, it's really, 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 really important that you do not just look at the number you like or look at the number you dislike and then say, well, it's a good poll. It's a bad poll. Put it out there. Let's say it's 2028 and J.D. Vance is the nominee and Gavin Newsom's the nominee. And you see J.D. Vance is polling at 54% and Gavin Newsom's at 46%. Nice. Perfect. We're winning. Well, how many people were polled? We talked about this a lot leading up to the last election. You see all these polls, poll here and a poll there. And then you look down and figure out, wait a minute, it's a nationwide election and you called 600 people? That doesn't mean anything. So the cross tabs of a poll. Every poll has cross tabs. Cross tabs are the details. And that is everything. How many people did you call? What was the voter registration of the people you called? Oh, yes. J.D. Vance is up 54 to 46. You look at the cross tabs and figure out they called 1,000 people and 700 of them are registered Republicans. That's not a reliable poll. The country isn't 70% Republicans. That matters. It matters a lot. Look at the questions they asked. Were they leading questions or were they real actual questions? All right, so that's all the political nerdery I'm going to do. Now for the internal polling. Every campaign, everyone in history, local, state, and federal, everyone, when they put out a poll, a public poll, there's a reason for it. Usually it's either to whip you into being more supportive or to pretend as if they have all the momentum, which will also make you more supportive. They put out public polls for you. When you see Senator Idiot put out a poll, in fact, he emails it to you, and he says, I need your help now. I'm polling down too, but I can come back for $50. He's trying to get help from you. I'm desperate. I can win, but we'll lose without your help. It's a sales job. And I'm not saying it's always a lie, by the way, but that's what that is. They do the exact same thing. You'll see underdogs do this all the time when they're losing or expected to lose. They put out a poll. Polls are showing that I'm up one on Sally Communist. I need your help now, and we can defeat her. They all do it. Everybody does it. It's politics. None are internal polling. Campaigns will pay for internal polling. My race, you know, I ran for Congress twice, as I've told you before. My very first race, because I'd never run for any office before, I was going up against this very well-established state senator. He had all this money, and we did not have very much money. Because the establishment hated my guts. I know you're shocked by that. We had to scratch and claw for every dime, and we had to watch how we spend every dime. My campaign manager was Jewish. That helped a great deal. But what, Chris? I'm just saying, no, I'm serious. We just had to watch how we spent our money, right? So I had not done any internal polling. finally leading up to the primary. This is the primary. I will tell you this right now. I assumed I was losing. Everyone knew who he was. He had raised and spent all this money. We didn't. I assumed we were losing. So we did an internal poll. I wasn't surprised the night we won, because about 3 weeks before the primary election, we did a poll and I almost fell out of my chair. We found out I was killing him, crushing him, absolutely crushing him. Everyone just assumed I was far to the right of him, which of course I was, far to the right of pretty much everybody. And we didn't release that, but I knew. Internal polling is what campaigns do, not for fundraising purposes. It's so they know what the who and what is. They know. They want to know. Am I down 10? Is this out of reach? Am I really up 1 or 2? Is it close? Do people think I'm untrustworthy? Do I need to grab a trustworthy photograph or do a commercial based on trust? Do people not trust me on crime? Do I need to run some mailers or TV ads showing me, hanging out with the cops, tough on crime? They do internal polling and they keep it to themselves to let them know where they're at and what they have to work on. It is always the most reliable polling. And of course, it's always the most secret polling. Polling you can trust generally the most is when there are leaks. You don't want your side to have leaks. You do want their side to have leaks, but that's usually the most trustworthy polling. When you see articles say, well, the Trump campaign came out and there are leaks that the internal polling has them up 5, that's generally the most accurate polling. If your city councilman, your senator, your president, and anybody else sends an email with poll results, it is designed to prompt you to action, and it most likely is not trustworthy at all. There. That's how the polling game works, all right? All right, someone's mad that I'm mean to Chris. Someone wants to know about designating all these tranny nutballs as terrorist organizations. Someone wants to know if I had Bruce Jenner on, how would it go? All that and so much more still to come on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now let's talk to people who hire people. It's time to talk to employers. People who don't hire people have no idea how time consuming is and how little time you get to spend on doing your actual profession. There's always something else. There's always a new paperwork, a new email, a new this. And when you have to hire somebody, it's like a full-time freaking job, sifting through all the resumes, trying to find someone who's not a turd. Let ZipRecruiter save you time. That's what ZipRecruiter is. It's your time. You sign up for ZipRecruiter, free, by the way, at ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. You sign up for ZipRecruiter. They handle it from there. They have technology. It's matching technology. Immediately after you post your job, their smart technology starts showing you people who are qualified for it. Immediately. It's instant. You don't have to wait around. Your time is valuable. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. Let's talk about tranny terrorists next.